Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable. We want to welcome you once again to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I certainly have enjoyed all of these months that we have been coming to you right here over WMAF, and I'm just honored to be invited into your home, your place of business, your automobile right now. If you're a first-time listener, please stay tuned. We're talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. It's an important message, how to be ready for that coming. And we want everyone under the sound of our voice to know how much God loves them, what a wonderful plan He has, way beyond this old world and way beyond death itself. God has a plan for a people that He's going to take to a place called heaven, and it is not a myth. It is a reality. It is a biblical fact, a prophetic fact. And you know what is so wonderful about talking about the coming of the Lord? This coming is marked by His first coming to this earth as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. And all of those ancient prophecies that hundreds of years before His first coming, all of them were fulfilled on that great Christmas morning a little over 2,000 years ago. And one of the great truths that we get from that is that if God kept His promise after all of those years, predicting, prophesying the first coming of the Lord to this earth as a babe in a manger. Amen. Specifics were there in the city where He would be born. All those things that absolutely came to pass exactly as God's Word declared it. Then we have no reason to doubt that He will come again just like the Bible teaches that He will. Praise God. So we're going to be talking about how to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we've been talking about being watchful and being faithful. And we're going to talk about today being in that back to this watchful attitude that we all should have, to be looking expectantly for His soon appearing and being sure that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Amen. This is the great hope of the gospel in the time of great trouble that would mark the last days. The Bible said we're to lift up our head when we see these events, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. So we just invite you to stay tuned as we talk about, is Jesus really coming soon? The prophetic clock is ticking and time is running out. We want to talk about that today. A little girl was walking home from school back when little girls could walk home alone, and the huge clock in the town square began striking out the hour. But this time, the mechanism stuck. It went all the way to 12 and kept on chiming. She ran home and excitedly exclaimed to her mother, "Mama, it's later than it's ever been before." And folks, prophetically, you don't have to be a graduate of a Bible college and just a major in Bible prophecy to read the paper, pick up the Bible, listen to CNN, pick up your Bible to understand that the prophetic clock is ticking. Amen. And I really believe that, I don't believe we're living in the last days. I'm going to qualify that statement right now. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And I certainly don't believe in date setting either. The Bible's very clear that no man knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. So we've got to be really cautioned about people who set specific dates. The message of Scripture is very clear, and that's about being ready when it happens. Matthew 23:15, as in other places, Jesus says, "Be ye also ready, for in an hour ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." It has been said, if you want to know what time it is on God's calendar, keep an eye on Israel, for it is God's timepiece. In fact, the title of this message today is taken from a title of a book. Dr. Gary Hedrick writes in a book titled Israel, God's Timepiece, and he says, I quote, in that book, "God has given the world a unique clock which tells us what time it is on God's prophetic calendar. While warning against date setting and sensationalism, he explains that anyone who learns to read this clock accurately can have a general sense of when end time, I want to mark that in your mind, end time prophecies will be fulfilled. Christ was very concerned that the generation living on this earth, when we were very close to his coming, that we would be living in a state of readiness, that we would be watching, that we would be faithful, and that we would be living in a state of readiness. Have you ever wondered why the tiny nation of Israel is in the news almost every day? Why, when Israel does anything, it almost certainly makes headlines? Why, the entire focus of peace in the Middle East centers around that little nation of Israel. It's because a prophetic clock is ticking, and the nation of Israel is, in fact, God's timepiece. And the regathering of that nation, the very fact that there is a nation of Israel after so many, many years that they were scattered among the nations of the world, that the Jewish people came back and claimed that homeland and became a state recognized by the United Nations. Incredible, incredible fulfillment of ancient prophecy. Let me read that prophecy to you about the regathering of Israel out of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 14. It says that, oh, by the way, as I get ready to read this scripture, I've heard this preached many times and preached very, very well about a church that's needs a revival and those dry bones beginning to come back to life. And certainly the church needs revival, and certainly dry Christian bones need to come back to life. But this is not about the church, and this is not about revival in the church. Well, this scripture, however, ought to spark revival in the church. Hallelujah. And if there's any dry bones in the pew, this ought to shake us up. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, God wants you to be ready for his coming. You know, the Bible said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. This is a gracious God that will not be goaded into coming prematurely, or sending Christ prematurely, or sending judgment prematurely because of those people who actually scoff at the message that I'm bringing you right now, a message about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. You know, even in a lot of magazines, it's caricatured fulfilling prophecy itself that scoffers would come in the last days saying, where is the sign of his coming? And in the magazines, you'll see this character in a robe with a beard with a sign that says, the end is near. And everybody that sees that caricature of a prophet declaring the end is near snickers and laughs. But I'm telling you something, my brother and my sister, the coming of the Lord and the judgment that follows his coming, that is no laughing matter. It is absolutely sobering and serious. And I believe with all of my heart in what I have read in the scriptures and others have written concerning prophecies and what I see in my world, in my generation, that Jesus Christ is coming very soon, and that we are living in what I believe the Bible clearly identifies as the last of the last days. Not a day or an hour we're talking about, but a time frame that signifies that the coming of the Lord is very, very near. Amen. So I'm going to read this scripture in the book of Ezekiel that was fulfilled while in my generation, in a lot of your generation. Amen. Listen to this. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I shall lay sinew upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. A people sifted into the nations of the world, regathered after 1900 years. Can you imagine that? To reclaim the promised land. I was born on January 20th, 1947. Israel became a Jewish state after all those years. I mean, you know, this was so long. After hundreds of years, Israel became a state on May 14th, 1948. Israel had to be in the land again, existing as a state for end-time prophecy to be fulfilled. It happened in my generation. I really like what one prophecy teacher says. He says, and I quote, Jesus emphasized this point in his teachings about the end times. In Matthew 24, he said for us to watch the fig tree. The fig tree is a common biblical symbol for Israel. Jesus said when the fig tree reblossoms, in other words, in the King James, it says when it puts forth its leaves, the generation that sees that happen will be the generation that will see all these end time events come to pass. The state of Israel came back into existence. It reblossomed on May 14th, 1948. And I believe with all my heart, someone who was alive, he said, in 1948, is going to see the return of the Lord. It may be somebody who was 2 years old in 1948. I was 1 year old. And they may be 80 when the Lord returns. I don't know, but I seriously believe someone who was alive then will live to see the return of the Lord. Well, you know, we can't date set specifically, but there is a general a setting in Scripture prophetically that we are living very near the coming of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a message of hope it is to the world if you know Him as your personal Savior. You know, the ozone layer is breaking down. Global warming is absolutely real. It is happening. There are asteroids that threaten to collide with our planet, and there are absolute plans being laid to try to blow it up if it isn't too big. You know, we blew up the satellite. Asteroids can be much, much bigger than the satellite. John said in the book of Revelation, he described what we would see as an asteroid, but he said a star fell out of heaven and fell into the sea, and killed a third of everything that lived in it. I mean, during the tribulation, there are going to be some terrifying, cataclysmic events that take place on the earth. And folks, the hope of every human being on this planet is the soon coming of Jesus Christ, that He is going to come, and He's going to come back very, very soon. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, that coming is a dreadful thought, because you will meet Him as judge instead of Savior. And folks, I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad to be a Christian living in this world in the condition that it's in. You know what the Bible said? It said men's hearts would fail them for fear in the last days, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. And just looking to a bleak future with all kind of potential for cataclysmic things to happen on this planet. It is not pleasant to think about these things, to deal with these issues. The pleasant thoughts, the comforting thoughts, come from Scripture. If you are a Christian, amen, we are crying in this day, Maranatha, which means even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Except for people who are not ready to meet Him, I would love it if Jesus would come back this very day. Amen. I am longing to go to my long home, as David said. This is my short-term stay here on this planet. I have a home that I'm going to live in forever, and I'm longing for my long home. Hallelujah. But I want to preach the gospel. I want to reach as many people as I can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And my brethren who are called to ministry, missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles of the faith, we are called to this great ministry, this great harvest of the end times. Amen. We're to raise our eyes and look upon the fields even as we lift our heads and look for the soon coming of Jesus. Let me read that scripture that we talked about out of Matthew 24, verse 32 through 34. Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." See, this is a season that it's marking, not a specific day or hour, but a season that is being marked prophetically. "So likewise, when you shall see all these things, you know it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." One preacher some years ago, and it makes us laugh at the time setting. Sometimes we don't take any of it serious after so many people kind of mess it up by not looking at this as a season for His coming, but trying to be specific. But some years ago, he wrote a book setting a date for the Lord's return. And his premise was, since a biblical generation is 40 years, he could do the math from 1948. And so he titled the book 88 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 1988. I can't help but chuckle about that. I used to have that book. But I agree with the prophecy teacher who said that people who saw the fig tree blossom and live out their days could well see the return of our Lord. I'm one of those people that was born into this season that the Bible marked as a season when Israel came back into a statehood after all of those hundreds of years of being scattered to the nations of the world and having no national homeland of their own. In 1948, it happened. I've often talked about a domino effect where once this prophetic event took place, it would be like a tipping a domino. We're going to talk about that a little more in just a few moments. Mark Twain visited Israel in the mid-1860s and wrote in his book Innocents Abroad about what a barren wasteland it was. The trees had been cut down. The land had been just literally ravaged for 2,000 years by foreign conquerors who had no respect for it, no concern for it, no love for it. And when the Jewish people began to look back at the early 1900s, the Arabs laughed at them for buying the land. Who but a crazy Jew would want malaria-infested swampland? Today, the Arabs want that land back because God has touched it. God has blessed it. Amen. Listen to what it says in Amos 9, verse 13 and 15. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring the captivity of my people Israel. They shall build the waste places and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up from their land which I have given them, saith the Lord God. God has made a beautiful land in Israel once again, just as He promised. Today Israel is the breadbasket of the Middle East. The Israelis have planted over 400 million trees all over the land, and rainfall has increased over 450%. It is a land of milk and honey once again. God has kept His promise, and it's a sign that Jesus is coming again, and that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And I've preached for years, as I stated, that the reestablishment of Israel as a nation has a domino effect prophetically. Have you ever seen someone set dominoes on their end vertically and create an intricate design, then tip the first one, causing them all to begin to fall as one hits another and another and another and another, running quickly without stopping all the way to the end? Matthew 24:34, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled, I believe, tipped a domino that marked a season, a generational season, that says this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. I believe I'm living in a generation that, biblically speaking, could see, and prophetically speaking, could see the return of Jesus Christ without doing any injustice to Scripture. Israel has to be in the land again. They are in the land. I haven't been to Israel. I'd love to go someday. It would be a joy of my heart to do that. But I understand at the Holocaust Museum, there is a sign above it that says, "Never again." The same thing that God said through Amos in these ancient prophecies concerning the reestablishment of Israel. And once they're back in the land in that last day situation, they are not going to be plucked up again. Amen. And I believe the dominoes are falling. Ever since 1948, one by one, events are piling up that are putting us in a season for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I really believe that that message that seems to be pushed aside, you know, we got so much preaching that has to do with the temporary, the material, the physical. And listen, God is concerned about the now in your life. God is concerned about the physical. God is concerned about the financial. He loves you. You're His child. He cares about you. Your Father knows, Jesus said, what you have need of. But there are bigger things that we need to be focusing on. In fact, if we put the kingdom first, Jesus said, all these things that your Father knows you need that are concerning our temporal, physical life, they're going to be added to us. But if we get our spiritual life where it needs to be and our spiritual focus where it needs to be, we're going to be lifting up our head. Amen. Looking toward the eastern sky, for our redemption draweth nigh. We're going to be feeling a sense of urgency to get the last day harvest in. We're going to be raising our eyes from ourself and looking upon the fields that are white unto harvest. Those tens of thousands of people that are not ready for the coming of Christ, not ready to die, not ready to meet Him as their judge. Oh, friend of mine, how vital it is today that we be ready for His coming. For that will make us ready for His coming will make us ready to draw our last breath. today. Amen. It is that life that has received Christ as our personal Savior. Oh, how He loves you and me. I'm so glad when I read the paper and I read the periodicals and I listen to the news broadcast and I listen to all of those things that makes this world seem like the future of this world seems so very bleak, that I have the promise, the blessed hope that Jesus, my Savior, is coming soon. Praise God. Amen. And in that hope and that hope and looking to that future, amen, my faith can rest on the solid rock that all is well in spite of all these predictions of doom for this planet in the future. God has a wonderful plan of salvation, and He has a wonderful place for us to live. And by the way, it's not up there. Amen. It's right here in a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. We're coming with Him to live here forever in a world where there's no hurt, no war, no sickness, no death. What a wonderful world that is going to be. Praise God. I want to ask you a personal question today. If you're a Christian, are you looking for the soon return of Jesus Christ? Are you excited about that? Are you highly motivated to win other people to Jesus? The Bible said we need to work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Oh, I pray today that you will get a hold of this message that seems to be lost in so many other messages that have relevance for the temporary but little relevance for the eternal and the spiritual. And I pray you get a hold of the fact, amen, that we need to be traveling light and getting ready for the soon coming of Jesus. We used to sing that old camp meeting song, "Keeping My Record Bright, Watching Both Day and Night. I'm getting ready to leave this world." And friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, I pray that you will be moved by what you see around you. And instead of being gripped by fear at looking at what's coming upon the world, that you will be gripped by faith, getting ready for the One who's coming back to this world to take His people home. Jesus is coming soon. When you see these things start to come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. So the coming of the Lord is getting very close. Are you ready to meet Him should He come today? Or are you ready to stand before Him should you draw your last breath today? God wants you ready for either event. He wants you to be able to lay down tonight, to sleep in the certain hope of the soon return of Jesus, the certain hope of the resurrection, the certain hope, amen, that is offered to us when our sins are forgiven and Jesus is the Savior of our soul. Would you pray with me if you don't know Him right now? Would you make yourself ready? Would you heed Christ's words and warning? Be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You can be ready before this broadcast is over by saying, "Jesus," say it with me. Say it with me. "Jesus, I've sinned against You. It's no secret. You know it. I know it. But today I come to ask You to forgive me of my sin. I repent of that sin. I want You to come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Change my life. Seal me with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Save me, Lord. I want to be ready for Your coming, and I want to be ready to stand before You." If you prayed that prayer right now, I want you to begin to thank Him for it and praise Him for it. Open your Bible, start reading it. Get in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church this Sunday with the family of God. We're going to live forever in heaven. Let's get some practice while we're down here. Get the good Word of God in you. Make you strong to overcome the tempter and the temptations of this world. Praise God. And enjoy the peace and take that joy and spread it around at work and win somebody else to Jesus. Well, our time is gone. I can't wait till next week. Be sure and come back and let's talk about Jesus.